Today we're going to look at the book of Psalms, Psalm 77 in specific. And what I want to look at in particular is, well, how many times have you gone through life? And how many of you right now today are just going through a time in your life when you just feel like, well, you feel the frustration that comes from you've prayed, you haven't seen the answers. You look at your life, you see the problems, you're concerned about those things. And sometimes it seems like the more you pray, the less comforted you get. Ever been there? Well, you know, there's a psalmist that was at that same place. And I want to read to you from Psalm 77, the first three verses of this psalm. It says, I cried out to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. So here we see the psalmist, and the psalmist is going through one of those times in life that you and I are very familiar with. One of those times when it just feels like the harder you try, the more you trust, the more you look towards God, sometimes it just feels like, God, are you there? God, do you care anymore? In fact, if you go down through some of the next verses after verse number 3, he's even remembering back and saying, you know, I remember the days that you did these things. I remember the days of your great glory. Have you forgotten? Has your favor left the nation of Israel? So the psalmist is feeling at this moment in his life, like maybe just perhaps God's favor is no longer present. Now, while he knows that's not the case, the evidence would suggest otherwise in his life. And he's at that place of just frustration and weariness from the spiritual battle. And so he cries out to God with his voice. What are you looking at today? What is in your life today that's caused you to look to him in desperation and just cry out to God? I cried out to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. See, the psalmist understands that when he cries out, God hears. He doesn't have any doubt that God hears. I think sometimes when we pray, we think, God, are you listening? Come on, be honest. Sometimes I think that we all get to the place where we pray and we wonder if God, with the billions of people on this earth, can he really hear my prayer and my prayer? Because it seems to go unanswered. Really? Are you listening, God? Well, the psalmist at least understands that even when he prays, even if it looks like God's favor is not being poured out, even if it looks like God's favor has ceased upon him and upon the nation of Israel, even if that appears to be true, he knows that God hears. I cried out to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. See, here's the first thing when you're going through those times that just feel like the dry seasons in life. You have to know, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, you have to know that God hears our hearts and our heart's cry. That's the first step. And, you know, there may be some comfort, and there is some comfort in knowing that God hears. But you're still left with the situation, just like the psalmist, where maybe you've cried out to God, and maybe you do realize that he hears. But you're still left in the situation, and you're still left with the unresolved situation in front of you, which is causing you to just be unnerved, to not walk in his peace, or to be totally filled with anxiety and stress today. I do know that it's easy to, in our culture, to get stressed out. In fact, I would say that most everyone you meet today is going to be enduring some level of stress in their life. Stress is a part of our culture. It's part of what we just walk in. It's part of what we receive. It's part of what we expect. And we make stress a big part of our lives. So everyone goes through different areas of stress. But here's what the psalmist says then after that. He realizes that he calls out to God, that God does give ear to his voice. But now listen to what he says, because this reveals a lot about the heart of the psalmist and where he was at in his soul and why he's not feeling that experiential blessing and favor poured out from God into his life. He says in verse number 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Okay, how many of you guys feel like you're in trouble today? Whether it's your financial situation, whether it's a health situation, if your job situation is tenuous, or if there's just stress on the job that makes it just seem impossible. How many of you guys hate going to work? I mean, how many of you, just because of whether it's the relationship with the boss or your coworkers or just the unpleasant nature of the job that you have to do, that you just dread getting up and going to work? A lot of you out there, I know, are right now in that day of trouble, whether it's work or whatever it might be. You're in that day of trouble and you're calling out to God. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. So the psalmist is going through that time. He realizes that as he's calling out to God, that God does give ear to his voice. He is seeking out to God in the time of trouble, identifying that this is a time of trouble. In other words, this is a situation in my life that I can't bring resolution to. I'm being overwhelmed by the situation. And so I stretched out my hand without ceasing. How many times have you felt like you have reached out to God? You've stretched out, you've called, you've sought, you've looked for Him, but you just can't be comforted. If you can find yourself in the place where that psalmist found himself here in Psalm 77, you're going to find some answers that he came to, some conclusions that he came to. And also just by looking at the words that he chose to use reveals a lot of what's going on inside of him. And perhaps will reveal to you what's going on inside of you. If you feel today like you have reached out to God, but you're just not getting the answers and you're just not finding that favor in your life, I want you to listen real carefully to these next couple of verses because it might be self-revealing. I think it is for all of us. All right, so we know the psalmist is reaching out his hand. He's stretching out in the night without ceasing. In other words, he is looking to God. He is looking to God as his only hope. He continually cries out to him. But look what he says in verse number 2. My soul refused to be comforted. Huh. Night and day he's seeking the Lord, but his soul refused to be comforted. How is it that if you're crying out to the Lord, that you would then refuse to be comforted from Him in turn? That doesn't make a lot of sense when you think about it. He's crying out to God, but it says his soul refused to be comforted. All right, what is your soul? We are spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is that eternal portion. It's that portion that was made new, made alive, a new creation when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is the Holy Spirit that is in you. Your body, that's self-evident. Your soul, sometimes we struggle with that a little bit, but your soul is basically, it's also that part that is eternal, but it's that part of you that is your personality. It's your thinking. It's your mental processes. It's those things that are eternal, but it's the soul man. So that's what he's talking about. And he says that my soul, in other words, his intellect, his personality, refused to be comforted. See, this is a choice that he was making himself, is what this says. He was seeking out for God. How many times have you been in this position where you are crying for God? You are seeking Him. You need God. And yet you refuse to be comforted. And you're saying, I've never done that, Todd. I've never done. Well, hey, listen, when I have sought God, I needed God. I was seeking Him, and I wouldn't refuse to be comforted if that was the case. Well, two very important revelations about the wrong way of thinking. And the wrong way of thinking that we see from the psalmist, and perhaps this is something that you and I do, and perhaps something that we're doing right now at this moment. First, he remembered the Lord and he was troubled. In other words, he was thinking of the Lord and it didn't bring comfort to him. That's what it says in verse number 3. I remembered God and was troubled. So he's already identifying that his soul refused to be comforted. It could have been, but he refused to. Why? Verse 3 gives us the examples. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. So the first thing we see is as he recalls God, as he remembers God, as he thinks about God, it says he was troubled. I remembered God and was troubled. You know what? When you think about God, you're supposed to be comforted. When you think about the things of God, it's supposed to give us peace. It's supposed to give us comfort. It's supposed to give us that hope that we can build into faith that we'll see the promises of God come to pass in our lives. But he says when he remembered the Lord, he was troubled. In other words, thinking about the Lord didn't bring him comfort. Instead, it gave him that sense of unease. Ever done that? Now, be honest with yourself. Have you ever thought about God? Have you ever spent time in prayer? And after you get done praying, or after you just give those thoughts to God, you think about Him, and you don't really feel at peace. In fact, you feel a little bit uneasy and a little bit troubled. Be honest. Ever felt that? That's what the psalmist felt. And that's why his soul, in part, that's why his soul refused, elected, made the choice to not be comforted. When we have not seen the goodness of God, you know what? It's important to realize it's never the Lord that's not coming through. It's always an indication of a blockage from our end. And that's what the psalmist was coming to these conclusions. If you seek the Lord, you should always, always be comforted, not be troubled. But when the psalmist remembers the Lord, he's troubled. That's what he says. That reveals that in his own thoughts, there's really no faith. And when you and I look towards God, when we think about Him, when we meditate upon Him, when we look with our hearts and our souls to Him, and we're not comforted, but instead we feel that sense of unease and even dread, it's telling us that we're not operating in faith. There's no hope in our thoughts. He's remembering. Here's what the psalmist is doing, and here is probably what you and I are doing. He's remembering past failures witnessed in his life, and he's ascribing those failures and associating those things to the Lord. Or perhaps more aptly, he associates them with the Lord not coming through as he expected. The result is that it troubles him to think about the Lord. How many of you guys have been praying? How many of you guys have sought the Lord? How many of you guys have prayed and asked God or looked at the Word and found something and you didn't see it come to pass in your life? And so now when you pray to God, now when you seek Him, rather than peace, it brings trouble because you're uncertain, you're unsteady, you're unsure. What did I do wrong last time? What didn't happen? What was it that caused that not to work? Why did God's favor not come upon me? Questions that we ask ourselves. It sounds like this is something that we would never do in ourselves, right? And yet so many good people have an expectation of trouble in their lives walking with Jesus. I hear it all the time. I hear people all the time. Now, listen to your own words, because this will reveal to you if this is where you stand. Because I hear people all the time that they say, well, I'm believing God. I'm standing on the Word. I'm believing God. But then in the very next couple of breaths, they're hesitant. They're reticent. And even sometimes the words that they say, you can tell they're holding back. You can tell they don't want to fully commit and say God is going to do this because His Word says so. They want to leave a little bit of leeway because they're just not sure. What if I say that God's going to do this and He doesn't? Am I going to look silly? Am I going to look foolish? Think about the words that you say. How many times are you saying and thinking in your mind, yeah, I'm believing God for this. I've prayed, I'm believing God for it. But what you say to someone else is words of negative. Words that indicate there is doubt and uncertainty. Well, if this doesn't happen, well, you know, I'll go call my physician. If this doesn't happen, I'll do this. You know, anytime that you plan for an escape route, anytime you have a plan B in a situation, that means you already don't really believe plan A is going to work. If you truly believe plan A was going to work, in other words, seeking God, if you truly were certain that God was going to come through to His Word, if you were really operating in faith, what you're going to do is never even look at a plan B. There's no need. Why invest the time and effort thinking about the next option if you know for a fact that this is going to work? And yet so many times I hear those plan Bs being spoken of, and sometimes even plan Cs. We call upon God for a change, and yet in our heart we expect more of the same. That's what the psalmist was doing. He hadn't seen the favor of God poured out. And so even as he's praying here, he's not really fully expecting it. So how do we know that if this is the case in our lives? Well, that's revealed to us in this next verse. It says that he thought about God and he was troubled. Then in verse 3 it says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. When we allow our souls to become focused on the negative, when we're complaining rather than praising God, we're going to wind up with the same result the psalmist had here. We will find that our spirit is overwhelmed. There's no comfort to be found in this approach. And yet this is the approach that we often and easily take. It's the natural state of the flesh, but it's counterproductive to receiving the favor and the blessings that God has for you. Rather, we should be remembering His faithfulness from the past. And with a thankful heart, we should be speaking words that reflect our hope and our trust in Him. Each one of us could productively curtail the complaining tongues that we have to a large degree. Here's what it says in verses 10 through 12 as we zip down a little bit. So why was the psalmist, why was he not experiencing God's favor? Why did his soul refuse to be comforted? Why was he refusing to be comforted? Two reasons. When he thought about God, he was troubled. In other words, he didn't really think that God was going to come through, and he had complaining words. But now let's go down to verses 10 through 12. And I said, this is my anguish. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your works of old. I will also meditate on all your works and talk of your deeds. Look at the change. Look at the clarification. Where before he was remembering past failures. Before he was remembering what God didn't come through. Before he was thinking about the times that he didn't see the evidence of God's favor. But now he's saying, I'm going to remember. I'm thinking back on those times that you did come through. I'm going to comfort myself by remembering your faithfulness, your power, and your might. I'm going to meditate on those things. And then look at the last thing he says here. And I'm going to talk of your deeds. In other words, instead of having that complaining heart, instead of focusing on the things to complain about, he said, I'm going to talk about your deeds. So it's a mental thing as well as a spoken thing. Listen, if you're feeling frustrated and you feel like those first couple of verses from the psalmist, where he's just discouraged and his soul refused to be comforted, it's a mental thing and it's a spoken thing. What are you thinking of? Are you remembering past disappointments? Or instead, are you remembering and meditating on the power and the goodness of God and thinking about the good things he's done? And then what are you speaking? Are we complaining about the things of our life? Or instead, are we deciding to talk about his good deeds? These are the choices that are before you and I today and the troubles that we face. It's our choices. So we can either choose to make the right choice that the psalmist here identifies, or we can choose to live the same old pattern.